some of you may be absolutely shocked to hear that we'll have a little Bible class now. I've been here 22 years. I don't know if we've ever done this before, but right on the verge of it. So I know some of you are absolutely ripped about it, so we better pause for rebound. If necessary, shall we pray? Now, Father, we're grateful to you for this opportunity to study your word, and it is our prayer the Holy Spirit would instruct us regarding these things. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Now, during the week, we introduced a word for those of you who were not here with the other 17. We introduced a word called sprizzatura, and it's an Italian word that actually means to live your life in such a way that nothing apparently disturbs you, that all that you do is done in a very casual way, making it appear that it is the natural way that you would behave or react or execute an issue. This is what we're talking about when we refer to spiritual adulthood and the sophisticated spiritual life. That you've learned the Word of God for so long, you've applied it over so many different occasions, that it has become your way of life, and therefore, no matter what exigency is presented to you, you handle it in a very casual way. Now, I've been working on this for a good long while, and I haven't really had a whole lot of progress, especially with ball games. I really have a hard time watching sports on TV, be it football or baseball, especially baseball. And so, I'm pretty much a maniac during the Cardinal World Series. And so, for any of you that observe me watching a baseball game, please know that I have no sprizzatura at all. Especially during the thing we had to suffer through in October. It was just absolutely magnificent, but at the same time, gut-galling. Nevertheless, it is the objective, dear friends, that we acquire this ability. That we are able to go out into the world and very casually and calmly and in a sophisticated way manage the things that we face, personally and as a member of society. I am not going to go through any review of that other than to remind you that sprizzatura is the word that we introduced. It took us two nights, both Tuesday and Thursday, to examine it, and it is important that you make that a part of your vocabulary. Now, one of the things that we were able to extract from that study, it's Brad Miner is the author. The name of the book is The Complete Gentleman, and the chapter we referenced was The Art of Sprizzatura, and it gives an illustration of the royal family's honor code application. From this chapter, we can develop a list of principles that give guidance to the application of the code. So we want to apply sprizzatura to the royal family honor code and note how this works. First of all, Miner mentions that honor is properly the one word that epitomizes the character of a gentleman. Honor epitomizes the character of a gentleman. And we have illustrated this idea through the formula that you see on the wall, the equation of honor. And we noted when we looked at this that doctrine produces integrity, which when put under pressure requires probity in order for the integrity to be manifest outwardly as honor. You can know the Word of God and have it in your soul. That information is available for application under the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, when you meet a problem in life, then the time to apply it is then, but will you, is the question. Or will you panic, or will you withdraw, or will you decide to go to old problem-solving devices? And when you therefore rely on the Word of God to resolve your problem, that's probity. Probity is integrity in action. And when you apply the Word of God to the situation, then it is reflected outwardly as honor. Are you an honorable person? Well, you are sometimes and you aren't sometimes. And to get better at being honorable is the issue. Now, here's how the formula goes. Doctrine, which is the red D, resident in the stream of consciousness, produces, there's the arrow, integrity in the soul. Knowledge of the Word of God produces integrity in the soul. That's your internal governor that is being developed. Now, when integrity of the soul IS abbreviated, is placed under pressure, and we've got it under the PR there. And the believer expresses probity toward doctrine. In other words, when you're loyal to the Word of God under pressure, you are having probity. You are a person with probity. And then that produces honor. Now, when people look at another individual and say, that man or that woman is a person of honor. Now, how do they know that? They can't look into your soul and see an inventory of doctrinal truths or establishment truths or a combo. But they see how you behave, how you decide, how you act, how you live your life. And they eventually come around to using a word to describe you, and it's called honor. But honor is what is reflected. It takes a long time to get around to being honorable. You start out as lap babies, and all you want is food and whatever else it is you want. And then you begin to take on something other than self-centeredness and begin to think of other people and how you ought to behave around them. And you take in information from parents, which is basically establishment concepts, and then you start learning basic doctrines. And hopefully when you grow up to be a big boy, you can behave yourself in society. And that's honor. But it all starts back here with doctrine. And this is a long, hard row to hoe to get to be a person of consistent honor. And to have the information and not apply it, that's the problem James is talking about. When we do get in this fancy new church, the first study I will begin there is James. And we'll take in all these controversial passages. And what James is talking about in chapter 2 is he says, you have got to be justified by those who see you. You're justified before God, but are you justified before man? And what he's talking about really is honor. So that's the diagram that emerges from Spritzer Torah. When you get Spritzer Torah combined with your doctrine, not only you're a person of honor, you're a person other people look at as unflappable. Now, Minor uses the word Spritzer Torah to define the gentleman's conduct in life. Life must be lived one day at a time, and the gentleman is one who in his application of doctrine confronts the exigencies, the challenges, the opportunities, and the circumstances of life with a relaxed mental attitude, and that characterizes the faith-rest life. Have you ever said, faith rest doesn't work for anything? It just doesn't work? Well, the reason it doesn't work is the person that is saying that is not going through the system of using it. The application of Spritzer Torah for the church age aristocrat is embodied in the Royal Family Honor Code, which emphasizes one's relationship with God through fellowship made possible by the royal priesthood and one's relationship with others through royal ambassadorship. How is this honor manifest? It is manifest before God through your royal priesthood. You are a royal priest. You represent Jesus Christ on this earth as a priest. You do not need to go to middlemen. You do not need to go to those with fancy vestments. You're the priest. And if you can't take care of your own spiritual life, then no one else can help you. No one else needs to tell you what you need to confess. Do you not understand what your sins are? You may not understand all of them, but you would understand some of them. And 1 John 1:9 clearly states that if you will confess the sins that you know, you will be cleansed of all unrighteousness. And that means there may be sins you're committing you don't even know are sins. Or you've forgotten some you've committed. There have been so many you can't keep track. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess them, homologeo, confess the sin to God, you're your royal priest, then He hears that, He sees your contrition, that's admitting that you've done wrong, and therefore He forgives you. Not only of the sins you've cited, but of all of those that remain unstated. All unrighteousness. Royal ambassadorship is your relationship with the world. Now, we've studied the difference between judging people and, on the other hand, discerning people. this concept of royal ambassadorship in no way makes you a pacifist. It in no way makes you milquetoast. It in no way makes you a man of the world, cosmopolitan. It does not do that in any way. Honor requires that you stand fast for the Word of God. Other people must learn to deal with that. But you're never rude to them. You never in any way belittle them. They're free to believe what they want to believe. But your royal ambassadorship does not require you to accept any and all behaviors as okay. And therefore you become a testimony for right doing. A good relationship with others, whether God or fellow humans, demands that one have a good relationship with self. You can't have a relationship with others unless you have a good relationship with yourself. Now, let me tell you something. If you are self-absorbed and self-centered, you don't have a good relationship with yourself. Why is that? The person who is self-absorbed never has enough, never comfortable. Nothing's never quite right enough. I want more. I need more attention. I need more money. I need more stuff. I need this. I need that. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And that self-absorption and self-centeredness and that person not even comfortable with themselves because they're not happy with themselves because they don't think they have enough. And they do have enough. They just don't want it or won't admit it. Now, before God is an issue. You have to be right with yourself before you can be right with God. If you're all absorbed with self, then you don't care anything about God. He's there to call on in a tight. A while, like on days of our miserable lives. When somebody gets a nose hose, then they go pray. A good relationship with others, whether God, with God or fellow humans, demands that one have a good relationship with self. Now, in the spiritual life, this requires spiritual self-esteem, which is a mental attitude built on an inventory of ideas made up of principles from the Word of God. And that builds spiritual self-esteem. Some of the characteristics that describe the believer with spiritual self-esteem are found in the Colonel's book, Christian Suffering. You'll find it in the third edition beginning on page 80, and I've just pulled some excerpts. But to remind you where you've got to be, just a gist of an outline of where you have to be in order to get yourself out of the picture and get God and others in it. Description of spiritual self-esteem. The believer with spiritual self-esteem thinks and applies Bible doctrine to life, motivated by his personal love for God. That is reciprocal love. And how do you express personal love for God? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, how are you going to keep what you don't know? People out there running around who are Christians, going to go to heaven when they die, don't know squat. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, what commandments do you know? You have to learn those, and it helps you to learn what you should and should not do. And if he says, do this, then you keep his commandments by doing them. If he says, stop doing that, you keep his commandments by stopping that. Not good at it all the time, that's why you have rebound. But you, reciprocal love is where you become oriented to who's in charge. You ask these little kids, who's in charge? They'll tell you. Who's in charge in the home? My mom and daddy. Who's in charge out on the streets? The police. Who's in charge of the universe? Who's in charge of all of these people? God the Father. They know the answer. That's reciprocal love. He understands enough doctrine, that's the believer with spiritual self-esteem, enough doctrine to think independently. Can you think your way through the day? Do you have to just sit down, call somebody on a helpline? Do you have to call somebody you know? Do you have to go to a therapist? Can you think independently? Now, if you can't, that's okay. Maybe you've just started at this. But you stay with the Word of God, you will get to a level of spiritual self-esteem where you can think independently. You don't need any help. You have the courage of your own perceptions and doctrinal applications rather than being erroneously influenced by others. And we've just come through a period where people were propagandized for 6 months. Propagandized to vote one way or the other. I told you well in advance, everything any of them said, no matter what stripe, they were lying to you. Now, was I right or what? They're liars. And when they get up there to the big house, they will not do a thing they said they were going to do. Because the lobbyists will come in, and that'll be the end of that. It's just a big mess. But please understand, we're not upset about that. We just recognize it, okay? You're not to write your congressman. That wouldn't do any good to send you a form letter back. I've tried writing congressmen. That's a waste of time and ink. They're going to do what they're going to do. They do what they do. Furthermore, he orients to the biblical reality of who and what he is as a member of the royal family of God. Who's running this country? It's not them. When you can get it through your head that you run the country, then we'll make some progress. And you run the country by sitting on your spotted bottoms right in here, learning the Word of God. How you think is going to be part of the inventory God pulls on a daily basis to decide what He is and is not going to allow in this client nation. At the same time, you never lose sight of who and what God is. He's running the show. And when a believer has attained spiritual self-esteem, he does not feel threatened by others. You feel threatened by anybody? How about when you go to work? You have a supervisor that threatens you. You feel threatened when you're there. At school, you have a teacher. Oh, my whole experience in going to school, I felt threatened. I was threatened by the teachers. I was threatened by my fellow students. Faye Oliver, Bobby Davis, that crowd. Threatened. It was a horror show. I had no faith to rest because I had no doctrine. None. No way to have any self-confidence whatsoever. Because everybody was smarter than me. Still true, but I have spiritual self-esteem now. Take Ben, for example. I did some research on the internet the other day with something I'm going to present to you, and some of you will sprint toward the door when that starts. That I think is fascinating, and it shows how God is in control of this entire universe. And so Matt's over at my house, and I'm telling him all I've been working on all day. I've been trying all day to understand this. It's just fried my mind to try and understand this. So he said, I think Ben would be interested in that. So I gave him the web address. And he takes it home and hands it to Ben. Ben says, oh, I know about that. Then he gives Matt a lecture on all of it. I'm thinking, yikes, you know, I'm supposed to get up. Why don't I let Ben teach that class? You know. The point is that you got to understand who and what God is, and He's in charge. And when a believer has attained this spiritual self-esteem, he does not feel threatened by others. You take me right now. I'm not threatened by Ben. Because if I were threatened by Ben, I'd have to be threatened by everybody else in here. You saw that diagram I put up about the church's building fund a while ago? It took me a long time to get those numbers down there. It was hard for me. And I double-checked it, and they all add up. Point is that you know your limitations. Clint Eastwood. You do what you do, and you do it to the best of your ability. And that you know that if you stay right where you're supposed to be, right where God puts you, and you give your all to that, then He will honor it. And it's somebody else's job to do the stuff you don't understand. This man refuses to be manipulated through guilt or fear by those who would impose erroneous legalistic standards on him. Judging is really a lot of legalism. I don't like the way you're doing that. Oh, you're doing that, are you? And then here comes the gossip. And what they say is usually true. I mean, the person's way out in left field, shouldn't be doing the things he's doing. But you're not the judge. And so, do you feel offended? Do you feel in some way insulted by what other people do? Why? God's in control. Cover your eyes. Not your job. But if you can discern that guy right there is way off base. And for the safety of my soul and my spiritual progress, I probably need to avoid that guy. Now, when you're in an environment like a school, how do you avoid people that you need to avoid? You can't. So you better have an internal governor, hadn't you? So kids go to school and they get influenced. They get into cliques. And they come home and say, I can't wear this brand of clothes anymore. Hey, that's easy to solve. Just go to another corner of the room. But when they come in and say, you know, I'd like to change zip codes, you got a problem. God's logistical grace sustains him, not so he can live up to the expectations of others, but so he can adhere to divine mandates and the protocol plan of God. Everything has to be God-oriented. Are you God-oriented? Doesn't matter what other people think. As long as what they're doing is judging you for your right doing. Never be afraid to do the right thing and let whatever people think about it be their problem. A Christian with spiritual self-esteem knows he belongs to a winning plan. He has learned that a fabulous eternal future awaits him after death, so there's no fear. No fear. The believer with spiritual self-esteem confidently persists in the plan of God without needing flattery or fanfare. That knocks out those that seek to be spiritual king of the mountain. They do not rely on recognition, encouragement, counsel, inspiration, or bullying from others. Some churches call people down to give them awards. You have served in the Sunday school for 25 years. Here's a plaque. That is so non-grace oriented, I can't even describe it. That a person would want to be recognized for that. You do what you do because the Holy Spirit motivates you to do what He knows you can do. And you do it from reciprocal love to God. You don't do it for recognition. I remember when they wanted to do a 50th anniversary for the colonel and to celebrate his 50 years there, he was adamantly opposed to it. And we all assembled down there and everybody was just like a party. Everybody came in from all over the country and filled the place up for a change. And everybody gave their fancy speeches and everybody applauded and guy played Amazing Grace on the bagpipes and everybody cried. And then it came time for the colonel to speak and he got up there and said, this is, in essence, he was very courteous, of course, you know him, but very eloquent and articulate. He thanked everybody for their kind remarks, but then went on to say, nothing has gone on here over the last 50 years that didn't have the Holy Spirit behind it. And without the Holy Spirit, nothing would have gone on. Now, the believer with spiritual self-esteem confidently persists in the plan of God without needing flattery or fanfare, without relying on recognition. Do you need to be encouraged to do things around the church? Do you need counsel? Do you need to be inspired? How about bullied? Anybody bully you to do things? I hope not. Tell me about it if they have. He learns, leans on no one but God. He does not crave the approval of people or overreact to their indifference, their disapproval, or their rejection. In other words, this is the sprezzatura of the Christian gentleman and the Christian lady. Spiritual self-esteem makes the believer a good listener. His genuine humility makes him teachable. He appreciates the graciousness of other people and recognizes legitimate authorities. including the authority of the pastor who teaches Bible doctrine. Spiritual independence means the believer flourishes within God's structures of human and spiritual authority. That's how you flourish, is orient to authority in every area, be it spiritual or establishment. You don't go outside the system as a rebel. You don't go outside as a crusader or a self-styled free spirit. The believer that has a good relationship with self has the capacity to have a good relationship with others. And this is a result of applying both Bible doctrine and the laws of divine establishment to one's relationship with others. Now, this is where we're going to have to stop, but it is a good place to stop. We will continue on with a few introductory comments, and then on Tuesday night, I'll take my math test, and I will present to you Phi, the golden number, 1.618. You will not want to miss that, especially you, Ben. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for this opportunity to gather here today. We're very, very mindful today, Father, of those who are in harm's way. We pray for our military, especially those deployed in hostile areas. We pray that you would frustrate the plans of the enemy. We pray that you would encourage and build up those who fight for freedom, that you would lead our leaders to rational decisions, that circumstances of history would force good decisions to be made. We're thankful for those who've fallen, for those who are injured. We pray for each of those who are recovering from injuries today. We pray for all those who serve in every capacity of our armed forces. We thank you for the progress that is being made on our own place. We thank you for the grace you've shown us in the purchasing of the property, the grace you've shown us with so many wonderful, intelligent professionals who've come forward to assist us, and the preliminaries that will take us forward to groundbreaking. We thank you for your word, that it is going to lead us in a direction of spiritual sophistication if we will only have the rectitude and the probity to apply it to our daily lives. And may all of these grace blessings that we see, not only within our church, but within our lives and throughout this nation, may we have reciprocity for these things and be encouraged to continue our pursuit of your magnificent grace and your immutable truth. And we lift our prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Charis human kai reine, plethun thae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.